Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And my, good to see visitors here tonight. Thank you so much for taking time out of your life, out of your activity. And today is always a busy life, but thank you for taking time tonight to come to the house of God. Just two nights left after tonight. Tomorrow night you want to be here if you're alive and well or you're just still warm, okay? Be here in the service tomorrow night. Tomorrow night I'm preaching a message that America needs to hear entitled The Awesome End of History. The Bible's interesting. It predicts things and it happens. And the Bible says a day will come when history ends. A day will come when the earth exists no more. And my friend, what happens then? It's an awesome time. A time of judgment. Across America, hundreds and thousands of people have received Christ when I preach that message. Let me encourage you, believer, bring a friend, do what you can to get someone here tomorrow night. Now, Friday night is a big night. Don't miss Friday night, whatever you do. The message is entitled, When Demons Dance with Delight. Certain things you and I can do that makes hell happy. Certain things you and I can do that makes hell's henchmen become hilarious and dance and clap their hands. Only one thing a lost person ever does that makes hell happy. But sadly enough, three things a Christian can do that makes hell happy and demons dance. Let me encourage you, keep inviting, praying. I mentioned before, blackmail, kidnap, whatever you have to do, just do it, please. But try and bring somebody with you before this week ends. Someday, this church will have one last revival, then it's over. It's done. Christians sitting up in heaven when it's too late. Who will you wish you had invited? How much more fervently will you wish you'd prayed? This could be the last revival this church ever has. Look in your Bible, Hebrews chapter number 2 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2. If somebody near you does not have a Bible, share your Bible with them, please. Hebrews chapter 2. I'll begin reading with verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word spoken by angels was steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For it first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that hear thee. I was going to college, and I went to breakfast one morning, and I had some friends there. I went to a Bible college, and I asked, how you doing, guy? They said, well, strange. Last night these days, we drove to Minneapolis, had a service and a rescue mission, and we're driving home on the interstate. All of a sudden, we saw a sign, said, detour 2 miles. Said it was dark outside, of course. We kept driving. Another sign, detour 1 mile. Kept we going. A third sign appeared, detour of half a mile. We kept driving. Pretty soon, a fourth sign appeared, detour 300 feet. Said we slowed down. All of a sudden, that road made a sharp turn to the right and back to the left. If we did that, all of a sudden, everywhere we looked, we saw lights spinning around. The car came to a stop. I looked over. A car had ignored all the detours, slammed into a slab of cement. We got out, went up to the police when he was there, and he said, what happened? Well, he said, a guy come down here at a high rate of speed. Apparently, he just ignored those signs, tried to make the curve, lost control, slammed the car into that. He said, I'm certain the man's dead. One young man was there, said, I looked down, I saw a handkerchief, I reached to pick it up. The policeman said, wait! Don't touch that. Under that handkerchief is that guy's brains. Four signs that man ignored to kill himself. Hebrews chapter 2, God gives every man, every woman, every teenager four warning signs. If you're not saved, get off the road that leads to hell and accept Christ, not a church, Christ, not good works. Accept Christ as your Savior. Number one, first of all, the priority of salvation. The Bible says the most important thing you do in life is not make a living. The most important thing you do in life is to prepare for the life to come. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man, woman, teenager, if they gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here's what Christ said. You're the wealthiest man in this town, and you wind up in the flames, you're a loser. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God's emphatic and dogmatic, the most important thing you do, and what thousands of people in hell wish they had done, is to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Oh, how important that is. The most valuable thing you have is not a house, a car, or even your spouse. It's your eternal soul. I'm thinking now, I was preaching. And a man named Pastor Watkins said, there's a guy we ought to go call on, him and his wife. He said, I was there about 4 months ago, and they said, I knocked on their door. They're a lovely young couple. Knocked on their door. The woman opened the door. I said, hello, I'm Brother Watkins from the Baptist Church. Her mouth fell open, looked at me, and said, preacher, God sent you here. Said, not long ago, my father died. His mother died. We've been thinking about this thing of what's going to happen when you die. Well, he said, I'm here. Can I show you how? She said, wait a minute. My husband's working downstairs. Honey, the priest is here. You want to talk to him? A voice came echoing up the hallways. The voice said, honey, I can't right now. This is a work equity house we got here. We got to get so much done. I'm running behind. Please tell that preacher to come back in 3 months and I'll talk to him. I should be done. Tell him, explain to him, please. But I want to talk to him, but not right now. Brother Watkins said, guess what? The 3 months is up yesterday. Man, I'm excited. We got in the car, drove out, went up to the door. Pastor knocked on the door. The door opened. He said, hello, Mrs. Watkins. She said, who? He said, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. You're not Mrs. Watkins. No. I thought the Watkins lived here. Oh, she said they did. But a strange thing happened. 2.5 months ago, the guy had an accident at the factory. He said they sold the house. We just lived here a week. And I guess the wife moved back to New Mexico. Now, wait. That man said, preacher, hey, you come back in 3 months, I'll get saved. The saddest thing in the world is 2 weeks later, he was dead and in hell. The Bible sure is emphatic on if you ever intend to get ready to go to heaven, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Word of God says something else about that. It says seek ye first. Nothing is more important than your eternal soul. Friend, I've got great news. If you're not saved tonight, before you walk out that back door, on the authority of the Word of God and the Son of God, you can know you're going to heaven. Not by baptism, not by church membership, not by turning over a new leaf, but by inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. Number one, the priority of salvation. Number two, the prominence of revelation. In my hand tonight, I hold a book. Different from any other book that's ever written. Why? Because God has wrote this book. The Bible's different in two ways. Number one, first of all, it is a perfect book. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. My friend, God wrote this book. It's a perfect book. What it says is true. It's been proven for thousands and thousands of years. But I like this, my friend. The Bible is a powerful book. It can change lives. The Bible says this, any man be in Christ, you ask Christ into your heart, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Jesus Christ is in the life-changing business. Nobody's too good what Christ can't change them, make them better. Nobody's so rotten what Christ cannot change them and make them better. My friend, Christ came in the world to change people and to save people. Many, many years ago now, I was visiting the hospital, and a friend of mine had a horrible accident, and I was there till about midnight. I'm leaving the hospital, walking down the hall. I heard a voice say, hey, how you doing? I looked in the room. There's a guy, I'm guessing, probably late 50s. I said, hey, I said, how you doing, sir? He said, better. You know, he said, I'm doing okay. How you doing? I said, better than you are, pal. I'll tell you that right now. Well, he said, I said, when I talk, he said, come on in. He said, my name is Harold Sheets. Harold, I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a policeman. I said, you in here for anything serious? He said, no, I got a disease. Anything I can catch? He said, no, no. He said, come on in. We talked a while. Harold, I said, let me ask you a question. If you were to die, do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, stop right there. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I said, Harold, let me ask you a question. Are you going anywhere? He said, what? I said, you going anywhere? He said, no, I can't. I can't leave for another month. Okay, good. Now I said, Harold, here's what I want. Just sit there, listen real well. I'm going to tell you how you can go to heaven. He said, are you crazy? I said, no, you're not going anywhere. Sit there and listen. Well, he said, okay, I'll listen. I opened the Bible. I showed him four things. I love this. You know why? If you can understand four things, you can accept Christ and go to heaven. The plan of salvation is not hard. What's tough is humbling yourself and realizing you can't work or earn or buy your way to heaven and inviting Christ into your heart. Okay, Harold, here we go. Number one, Harold, I said, the Bible says you're a sinner. Right or wrong? It's God. Well, you said, yeah, I got to admit, that's right. Okay, number two, here we go. The Bible says because you're a sinner, you're heading straight toward the gates of hell. I don't believe that. That's okay. There's a third thing. Harold, I got news for you. I don't know who you are, what you've done. The Bible says when Christ hung on the cross, he suffered for every sin you committed. He was perfect because he was perfect. He could suffer for your sin on the cross. He paid for your sin. Now, Harold, the Bible says this. To be a Christian, not joining a church, getting baptized, it's inviting Christ into your heart. Bible, Romans 10:13. Whosoever, that includes you, Harold, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, now, Harold, right here, right now, you want to pray with me and accept Christ. He said, are you dumb, ignorant, or deaf? He said, preacher, I don't believe hardly anything you told me. Okay, I said, Harold, thank you for listening. Before I go, could I have a word of prayer? He said, I ain't praying, but you go ahead. So I prayed and left. Okay. I left town the next day, and I was gone for like three weeks. I got back in town, back to the hospital, visiting a friend of mine, and I thought about Harold. I realized he told me he was going to be in the hospital for a month, so I walked down. I walked in the room. I said, Harold, how you doing? He said, I'm doing stinking rotten, and it's all your fault. What? He said, I don't understand this. He said, I'm doing horrible. I'm afraid to go to sleep. He said, I'm afraid if I go to sleep, I'll die in my sleep and wake up in hell. He said, do you think I can still get saved? I said, buddy, I can arrange that one for you. Amen. Now, I open my Bible. Please follow me. Please listen to this. Well, I'm not interested. When you're pinned in a car die, you may be interested. Huh? You got the big heart attack and can't get your next breath. You better be interested. I said, Harold, let's go over it again. Number one, you're a sinner, right? He said, you're right. Number two, because of your sin, you're going to hell. He said, I know that. It bothers me. I said, it should. Number three, Harold, here we go. When Christ hung on Calvary, he was your substitute. He died for your sin. I said, Harold, right here, right now, will you pray with me and accept Christ as your Savior? I did not ask him to do this. It was not a pretty sight, okay? All of a sudden, Harold throws the covers back, stands up beside the hospital bed, turns around, gets down on his knees, folds his hands across the bed in an open back hospital ground. Friend, that was not a pretty sight. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. But Harold got saved. He got up. He said, what now? I said, Harold, the first Sunday you're out of here, he said, I want you to go out to Calvary Baptist Church. Dr. Wenger will preach at the invitation, walk down the aisle, make it public, you got saved. He said, I'll do it. Now, let me go back a minute. Harold's problem was he wasn't really sick. He was an alcoholic. This was the third time he'd went through that stuff, okay? And so I went back on the road. My wife called. I called my wife one night and said, hey, how you doing? She said, you know a guy named Harold Sheets? I said, yeah. I led him to Christ. She said, that's right. So this morning he come forward, told everybody that you led him to Christ. I like that. And Dr. Winninger baptized him at the close of the service. Now, in Baptist churches, we immerse. Next to drowning, but not drowning, okay? We immerse, we plunge people under the water. And so Dr. Winninger got Harold in the baptistry. He said the words. He took Harold under. Now, Harold was not used to water. He was used to a stronger substance, okay? When Dr. Winninger brought him up, all of a sudden, he has a mouthful of water. He goes all over the choir. But that Sunday morning, Harold got baptized to follow Christ. Now, I got back in town later on, and I went down the house to see Harold, knocked on the door. His wife, I said, Harold home? She said, no. But she started crying. I said, is Harold drinking? She said, no. So I'm crying because I'm happy. Since that day in the hospital, when Harold got saved, he hasn't had one thing to drink, not even a beer. He said, our home is changed. She said, Harold is totally and completely changed. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about a living Christ. The third day he rose. Because he's living, he can change your destiny from hell to heaven. He can change your life into a wonderful life of happiness and glory if you'll accept him. Number one, we find the priority of salvation. Number two, the prominence of revelation. This Bible, as I said, told you how to get saved. Number three, my friend, there is the provision for emancipation. What are you talking about? Look at verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Stop. What's that verse say? Your children are brats because you were a brat. No. What's that verse say? It says this, we are born sinners. That's right. The Bible says that. The wicked go astray from the womb as soon as they are born, speaking lie. Preacher, are you saying babies are liars? No, God's already said that. I can prove it to you, okay? Junior's upstairs in the nursery, okay? And mom is down in the kitchen. All of a sudden, little Junior starts to think, boy, sure's a lonely life being a baby. You know, I could use some fellowship up here. When I'm sick, and I cry, mom always comes. When I need feeding and I cry, mom always comes. When my diapers need changing and I cry, daddy always comes. Yeah, you can do a bit on that, can't you, huh? What happens? Little Junior doubles up those fists, gets a big lung of air. He goes, "Wah!" Mom thinks he's dying. She runs upstairs, grabs him. He starts giggling, laughing, and slobbering. See, there's nothing wrong. He's a born liar, and so are you. The Bible says this, way back in the beginning, Adam, the father of the human race, sinned and became a sinner. Eve, mother of the human race, sinned and became a sinner. Now, because both of our first parents were sinners, we are born with a sinful nature. If the father is a full-blooded Italian and the mother's a full-blooded Italian, the baby is a full-blooded Italian. That is true, my friend, in the spiritual realm. We are born sinners. But hear me. When a baby dies, a baby goes to heaven. Until they're old enough to understand the gospel, they are safe. S-A-F-E. David lost a baby. He said, the child can't come back to me, but I can sure go to him. Understand that. Babies and children are safe until they're old enough to understand the gospel. But the Bible says, my friend, that the children are born sinners. Years ago, over in France, Halloween night, a man had a big thing going on for the teenagers, basically. And liquor was flowing. I guess in France, there's no legal age to drink. If you can walk, you can drink. Man, the crowds in there, the teenagers, they're rocking, and boy, they're having a great time. At 3 o'clock in the morning, a guy went and said, hey, there's a gang of thugs coming down the street. They're going to try and crush this thing without paying. The owners found some big spikes, drove the spikes in the door, into the door sill, each front and back both, in about 4 different places. Man, about 4:30 in the morning, man, things are rocking. Everything is going great. Young man trying to play the big shot, lit a cigarette, threw the match through the air, thought it would go out. The match lit on crepe paper. Immediately, the whole place became a blazing inferno. By instinct, those young people ran to the door. They started pounding and realized they couldn't get it open. One young man, his name was Salvatore Morgan, saw a window open. He went out that window, around to the front. He could hear people pounding on the door and screaming and crying. Quickly, that young man, back to that window, in that intense fire. When they finally got the fire put out, 143 young people at that affair had burned to death. The fire marshal and firemen are going through trying to identify the charred bodies. He come to the body of a young man. His arm was stretched out under a pile of bodies. Took the billfold out, Salvatore Morgan. Closed it up, buttoned the billfold back in, put a tag on the young man's neck with his name, Salvatore Morgan. He tried to move the young man, but he couldn't move him because of the pile of bodies on him. The firemen came, removed the bodies. They discovered something. His hand was tightly clasped to the hand of his sister, Christine. He could have fled. He could have got out. But he came back and gave his life for his sister. That's like Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He was perfect. He didn't have to die. But my friend, he loved you so much. He just didn't die on that cross. He suffered your hell on that cross. And oh, dear friend, if you're so foolish, you'll say, I'll take my chance. I'll suffer my own hell. That's exactly what will happen. But the Bible says this, who his own self. That means alone. He was the only one could do it because he was sinless. Who his own self bore our sin in his body on the tree. He paid the price for you to get saved. It's up to you, sir, ma'am, to make that decision and to come and accept Jesus Christ. Number four, the peril. That word peril means danger. A procrastination. Look at your Bible, please. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, what are you saying, preacher? Not one time in the Bible, could God ever tell anybody, get saved tomorrow, get saved when you're 21. Every invitation in the Bible to get saved is today. The Holy Spirit says today. Bible says today is a day. Listen to me. You think anybody's foolish enough to make reservations in hell? I've been preaching 51 years, night after night after night. Now, one time was one person come to me and said, hey, guess what? Today, nobody's ever told me they made reservations in hell. I'm not proud of this. Wish they didn't have to tell it. Looking back over the years, I can think of scores of people come to revival like this, realize they need to get saved, raised their hand for prayer, walked out that door without Jesus Christ. And right now, they're in the flames of hell. Why? They said, I'll get saved someday. No, God says, get saved today. Amen. Now's the accepted time. That's what God said. Today is the day of salvation. Bible says this, it is time to seek the Lord. When? Today. That's the word of God. If you're not saved, I got the greatest news you'll ever hear. Tonight, before you walk out that door, you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior and know you're on the way to heaven. How? Not by joining a church, not by getting baptized, not by moral reform. None of that can save you. Here it is, whosoever. I love that word. Because that includes you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. August the 12th, 1958. 16 years old at church camp in bed after a service. I realized I was a sinner. I realized Jesus died for me. I realized where I was at then, I was heading straight for the gates of hell. And that night, flat on my back in bed, I just closed my eyes. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. And right here, right now, I accept you as my Savior. Please hear me, please. That is my only hope, and it's a sure thing, not a hope, of going to heaven is what? I've received Christ. Not because I'm a preacher do I go to heaven. Not because I'm moral do I go to heaven. Not because I'm a Baptist do I go to heaven. Because of Christ, I'm going to heaven. Amen. And that Christ wants to save you tonight if you're not saved. When I got out of seminary, for a three-month period, I served as interim at a rescue mission. That fall, I was going into evangelism, but I got a big rescue mission there in Bloomington, Illinois, and I was the interim, and guys would come off the street for meals and to spend the night, and I'd witness to them. A young man showed up, just a wonderful young man. I would guess probably 23, 24, good-looking young man, and he just a wonderful young guy. And I talked to him. I talked to him about receiving Christ. And he said, yeah, I know I should. But he said, I'm not going to. And it was not uncommon in those days. I'd preach seven nights in a row at the mission. And the men there were required to come. Here we go. I started preaching. Seven nights in a row. Ready? Seven nights in a row, I had the guys bow their head. If you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Seven nights in a row, Dino raised his hand. Night number eight, I had to preach again. I got to preach again. I finished preaching and said, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Dino went just like this. I prayed for him. Let's stand and sing. You want to get saved? Come on down here. I'll get somebody to take you in a room and show you how to. Man, we started singing. Two men come forward. A lady come forward. I looked back. I didn't see Dino, but then I saw him. The conviction was so strong he couldn't stand. He was sitting there, had his head in his hands. I could see him shaking, and I made another appeal. And I closed the service. I walked outside. A lot of times the men congregated. I don't know, it was Dino. I said, "Dino, buddy, let's go back in the auditorium. I hope you get saved." He said, "No, not tonight, preacher." I said, "Yeah, tonight. Come on. God's spoken to your heart time and time again." He said, "Not tonight." I said, "Dino, I'm going to quote Bible to you, and you better hear it, please. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I started crying. He was crying. He said, "Joe, you're the only person that's tried to influence me to do right, the only person my whole life." He said, "I left home when I was 6. I've been on my own ever since." He said, I love you, and I'm going to get saved, but not now." Next day, I left for vacation with my wife. Went on vacation. We were gone 8 days. We got back, and that night I went down to the mission, and Mr. McCain, the guy that ran the mission, I said, looked around. I said, "Where's Dino?" He said, "You don't know." "Know what?" He said, "A guy showed up in town, and he had a super hot car. And during the day, the men at the mission, if they behaved themselves, they could go downtown. They're trying to find a job, you know, and stuff like that." He said, "Dino started hanging around with this guy. The mission rules are you have to be in the mission and cannot leave after 10 o'clock. And you have to come to the service." He said, "Dino met this guy. One night, Dino snuck out a window down the fire escape, got in this guy's souped-up car, said, 'You're going south of town out here, and there's a curve out there that's deadly and dangerous.' The guy did not know that. He was not from Bloomington, Illinois. Going full speed, he went in that curve, tried to make it, lost control, went over, rammed the car in a tree. The driver was thrown out. Dino was pinned. The guy crawled back to try and help him. All of a sudden, a guy realized what happened, stopped his car, ran over. He looked in. He could smell gasoline. Frantically, he was trying to open the door to get Dino out. All of a sudden, he heard two sounds. Immediately, the whole car was a blazing inferno. And then he heard a scream. That scream never stopped. When the fire stopped burning, there was more fire in hell. His last words, "Don't worry about me. No one ever made reservations in hell. Oh, I hope to God that someday you won't meet Dino in hell." I'm not talking joining a church. I'm talking coming to the living Christ that loved you and died for you and will save you. Will you bow your head for prayer? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Two questions. Number one, please think, please. If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? I'm not going to die. I'll tell you what the Bible says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Tomorrow starts, sir, at midnight. Huh? Boast, and God said, don't boast you're going to live 4 hours and 11 minutes. God said, don't do that. The Bible says they say peace and safety. Man, I'm in great health. I'm doing good. Sudden destruction. No chance to get saved. No chance to call on Christ. Heart attack, car wreck. Life ends with no chance to get saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm the only one looking. I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out. I will not try and drag you down an aisle. But who tonight will be honest and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I sure am concerned about it. Preacher, I know it's important. Pray for me." I would be honored to do that. And again, I give you my word, I will not point you out. I'm not going to try to hustle you down an aisle. With our heads bowed, who will say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Could I see your hand right now? Lift it up and right back down. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Thank you. God bless you." Who else? "I'm not sure." Bless your heart, sir. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm just not sure. As you pray for a couple of friends, I'll be honest, include me in the prayer. Could I just see your hand? Lift it up. Let me see it. I want to include all. Bless your sweetheart. I've seen three hands. Would you like to make it four? Could I see your hand? Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. There's two more. God bless you. Last call. Preacher, as you pray for six folks tonight, I'm not sure. And I sure don't want to meet Dino in the flames of hell. But the mark, as you pray for six people tonight, include me in that prayer. 10 seconds. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. I see it. Question number two, I'm going to ask it one time. Preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart about changes I need to make in my life. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but as you preach tonight, God tapped me on the shoulder and brought to my mind a friend, a coworker, a neighbor that I need to witness to and invite. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian, but there's some area that God spoke to my heart about tonight. Brother Mark, pray for me as a Christian. I want to see your hand right now. Up and back down. All right, good. All over the place. Good. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost will be poured out in this place tonight. Oh, God, I pray for at least six people that said, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm thankful right here, right now, they can be saved. And Father, I plead every lie the devil gives may it seem ridiculous in the light of eternity in the flames and the heat of hell. I'm praying the Spirit of God might move in an awesome way, a powerful way. Tonight, might we rejoice and you rejoice. And may Christ say, I'm so happy I died that those folks might get saved. Listen carefully. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Pastor Schaefer is going to be right at the front. Listen carefully. I'm telling this honestly. If you wanted to get saved, you couldn't find a finer man to tell that to than Pastor Schaefer. If you're not sure you're a Christian, don't give the devil a chance. As soon as I have you stand, if you're not sure you're saved, get out of that seat in the nearest aisle, make your way to the front. He'll meet you. What's going to happen? Somebody will take a Bible and take you aside, a man with a man, lady with a lady. If a couple comes, he'll take both of you aside. That happens all the time in this church. It's nothing new. It's happened in Baptist churches for thousands of years. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. I prayed for you. I preached to you. Christ has died for you. There's nothing else anybody can do if you reject him. But don't reject him. You say, I'm a little scared. Ask the person beside you. Ask the person who invited you. They would love to come with you. And tonight you can walk out that door saying, I'm certain I'm a Christian. I'll be ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, everybody in the auditorium, everybody, just stand to your feet. Come on, stand up right now. Stand right up. Everybody, stand up. Stand up. Come on. If God's speaking, come on right now. It's the instrument played. Play it. Come on. Play it. Come on. You want to get saved tonight? I know you do. Come on. Come on. Don't wait on somebody else. Come right ahead. Come on. God bless you. Wonderful. Great. Good. Who else? Come on. God bless you. Coming to get saved, preacher. God bless you, son. Who else? Come on. You raised a hand. Don't just stand there and go to hell. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Who else? Come on. That's good. That's good.